Heaven is a wonderful place. 21.
Even after we've believed in what you've done for us. And Lord, I think of that song where when my vessel breaks, you pick up the pieces, put me back together. And that's probably a daily thing, Lord, for each of us that you have to do. And Lord, you do it because you love us. And Lord, we're looking forward to the day that we'll spend eternity with you. But until then, we just pray that you help us to be about our business, to tell folks about Christ, to fellowship with the believers in church, and in places where we work. And Lord, help us to love each other. Help us to learn to love each other.
Yes.
And appreciate the fellowship that we have around one kindred Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And we thank you for bringing Brother Matt to us today. And we pray you bless him and put in his mouth the word you have him to say to us. And we just pray you bless this time, bless the singing. Pray for those that aren't feeling well. Pray for those that have COVID. There's quite a few people that are recovering from this. And Lord, we thank you that it doesn't seem to be as serious as it used to be for most people. And so we just pray that you would help each of us to stay healthy, that are healthy, and for those that aren't, to heal up. We pray for the movers, you'd be with them. And bless their efforts and the things that you called them to do. And we just pray you heal them up, that they'd be able to carry out those plans. And we'll pray in Jesus' name, amen.
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 All right. The only announcement I have for right now is that Pastor is planning to be back next Sunday. So pray about all those things. We'll let you know more details if any of the rest of the family are able to come or what's going to happen there. So we'll let you know. All right. Yes, one other thing I want to remind everybody about. I think most of us remember this, but just so everybody remembers what we said at the business meeting, we are going to continue taking love offerings until Pastor Welton is here on a full-time basis. So I want to make sure everybody understands that. And so if you would like to continue giving love offering gifts to our speakers who are here, and it's Brother Renzi today, please do so. Big encouragement to them for sure. So, all right, just want to make sure everybody is reminded of that. All right, number 38. Number 38 in the chorus book.
I'm
1:22.
Remember, Thou me.
Oh, remember thy, according to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness sake, O Lord.
That's good. You did very well.
Thank you.
Appreciate your help there. Anyone else? Anyone else? I don't learn it yet. This one's a little tough, so we'll probably spend another week or two on it, but it's a good verse. Okay, go ahead, Mom. You want to try it?
Psalm 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord.
Very good.
Amen.
Okay. All right, let's say it one time together. Psalm 25:7. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. All right. Very good. Brother Renzi.
Okay, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I'm not going to wear the mask when I teach and preach this morning. I saw something, I think it was on Facebook, somebody came up with a great idea, and it had a picture of themselves with an arrow saying, it's me. You know, because with the face covered, it's like, you know, people are trying to figure out who's who. My father-in-law, Pastor Panicetti, I don't know if many people know him. He's from Philadelphia, Bethel Baptist Church, been there for 38 years, I think. He just got out of the hospital a week ago battling COVID, and he was put in the hospital for five-day treatment. They had to give him a special treatment. They sent him home with oxygen. So he's home. He's doing better, but he's not fully recovered yet. People are getting it. I think the majority of my in-laws, and a lot of my in-laws live in one house. It's a very big house, but nonetheless, they pretty much all got it. But not everybody was getting hit hard with it. But the problem is people are getting hit hard with it. I mean, he obviously was having it real bad. There's a lot of people that are dying from it. There's no doubt about it. I think the last report that I read, there was 119,000 in the ICU in the United States of America. That was from, they say, the Thanksgiving holiday, if you will. And now they're anticipating what's going to come from this time of the year. Amen. And so my wife right now is going through some battles physically. And so I ask you if you would keep her in your prayers. She's got several things going on at the same time. And it's like she's going to see this doctor and then going to see a GI doctor. And so I'm one of the reasons I'm wearing a mask today is because I got to concern myself with her. She doesn't need COVID on top of it, just in case. Now, again, I may have had COVID. There are people that have had it and don't even know it. I'm kind of hoping I was one of those. You know, yeah. I remember probably in March getting sick just a matter of a few hours. It was unusual, but I've heard of stories. In fact, there was a woman I heard was on a cruise ship, and she, you know, COVID was spreading. She said she had a headache. She about 3 hours felt terrible, and then she was perfectly fine. They tested her. It was COVID. I mean, you know, some money. They say the majority, I think 40% will have it, not even know they had it. But God have mercy on the very small percentage that are getting it and end up in the hospital. And people are losing loved ones over this. And so, by the way, I thank you for your kindness to one another. As brother prayed, as brother Jason prayed, you know, we got to love one another and be considerate for one another. There are some churches that, you know, if you'd wear a mask in there, they might get on you about that. Hey, brother, where's your faith? You know, bless God, blah, blah, blah. You know what? If you have faith and you believe that whatever, don't wear a mask. It's your business. But please don't mock somebody else that does. Amen. You know, to each their own. Amen. And so that's the good thing. And talking about loving one another and caring for one another and putting up with one another. Oh, I hate to say that. Believe it or not, we talk about people putting up with one another. You know, there are times we got to put up, or others, I should say, have to put up with us. Believe it or not. I know you're surprised at that one. Oh, I don't understand that. Who would have a hard time putting up with me? Amen? And so we all got to be very, very careful. There's a lot about us we don't know unless people point it out. And we don't like that neither. Can I get a witness on that one? But anyway, congratulations. From what I hear, you have a new pastor that is he's going to be on his way soon. Came last week to have an interview, and that was canceled thanks to the snow. Welcome to the neighborhood, right? But anyway, praying for you guys, praying for him to get here safely with his family, and praying for a blessed unity among the pastor and the people. Amen. Prayer is there will be mutual respect, amen, and care for one another. Put up with each other. Put up with each other, amen. Hey, we all have to put up with each other. I read a message one time from a preacher, a great preacher, and his message was about putting up with each other, you know. And it was about the man who found the pearl of great price. And he went and he purchased the whole field in order to get that pearl of great price. And what this man said was, when that man found that pearl, he didn't just simply buy the pearl. You know, he didn't just simply buy that precious, valuable thing. He had to buy the whole field in order to get the pearl. With the field comes maybe undesirable things. Bugs. Creepy, crawly thing. You know, if you want the pearl, you got to put up with the things that come with the pearl. Now, there's a pearl in the preacher, but there's also a field. He's still human. There's a pearl with you and I, but we're all still human, and we have to put up with each other, amen, for the pearl that is in one another, amen. In fact, this preacher, as I read that message, he talked about how, you know, he had some issues with some deacons of his, and they had a hard time purchasing property for the church, that he just simply said, we need to buy this property, we need to knock it down, and we need to do this with it. And they were having a hard time, and he said, look, he just took it upon himself. You know what? I'll get it done. He called up the demolition guy. He said, go rip down this property. Come to find out, after they ripped it down, he gave them the wrong address. He's the one that said you got to put up with the one who has the pearl because he's also got his faults and failures. Amen? And that is the truth. When you get married, you marry a pearl. After a while, you realize there's a field that came with this. Hey, can I get a witness on that one? Now, if your wife's not here, you should say amen real loud. Amen. If you have a Bible, would you turn to 2 Timothy chapter number 2, please? This morning, by the way, this is the last Sunday of 2020. Everybody just can't wait till 2020 is gone. Now, the only thing is, it would be nice if New Year's Eve, we all found out COVID was gone. We'd have to celebrate for sure, amen? We might even have to go strong with some strong drinks like Coca-Cola. By the way, be honest with you, I cannot get by a day without at least one adult beverage. At least one. Now, I hope you're not offended, but it's Metamucil. Anyway, 2 Timothy chapter number 2. I want to share just some things with you this morning. By the way, I know... Jason, your grandfather went to be with the Lord and to be with his son and any other relatives that they have in heaven. Thank God for the blessed assurance that we have. Amen. I mean, as people are dying left and right from COVID, and if it hits us, our prayer is number one, dear Lord, please don't let me get it. But if I do get it, Lord, please get me through it. That's it. But, you know, if for some reason we are taken by COVID or any other situation or sickness or accident or whatever, if you are saved, you and I have the blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Amen? Look, somebody said, I'm not afraid of dying or I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. You know? December 25th, 2 days ago, right? Woke up 5:30 in the morning. My wife woke up, I woke up, and I look at my window, and I see red lights flashing. And that's nothing but an ambulance or a fire engine in our neighborhood. If it's blue and red, we know it's police. And I said, hold on a minute. We look out the window and you see an ambulance. You see a fire truck. Fire trucks are sent out to emergency situations until ambulance can get there. And we're looking out and it's really close to our home. And we're wondering whose house is this? This is 5:30 in the morning on December 25th. And then all of a sudden we see the lieutenant of the rescue squad pull up, and that's not good. Now, he's not got anything that they, you know, medically that they're going to use for whoever or whatever. And then the fire trucks leave, the medical truck's still there, and then a police officer comes. And then the medical people are now reporting to the police officer whatever he's writing down. Usually that means somebody's dead in the house. Three doors down from us, people moved in not long ago, and about an hour and a half later, they're bringing a bag out with a man in there. Probably middle-aged man, you know. You just never know what's going to happen and when it's going to happen. And when I see that situation, now we had just recently given gospel tracts to every one of our neighbors. This is a new neighbor, so we really don't know them, actually. I understand that most of you don't celebrate what the world calls Christmas or whatever. But I personally take the opportunity to, I give a box of chocolate to every neighbor. And with that, I give a gospel track and I give a card. And every year we do that for our neighbor's sake, at least to try to, much of the world are very open to things at that time of the year, this time of the year. And this was just a few days before we had dropped off, where we put in their mailbox some chocolates with a gospel track and a card, a Christmas card, we'll call it, but it's a religious one that has some message in it about the birth of Christ. Now, we understand Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but I don't need to argue at when my neighbor who's getting ready to go to heaven, or if he's saved, he's going to heaven. If not, he's leaving this life. My only hope and prayer, as my wife said, was maybe he read that. I have no idea. Maybe he read that. Maybe that was his last opportunity to hear the gospel message. Amen? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. But anyway, so there's a woman now living down there without, I don't know if it's her husband or not. Sadly, in our day and age, many people are shacking up. They're not even married. And it doesn't, by the way, in the world's eye, it don't matter no more. That's where we are. You know that, right? We are in a very morally bankrupt society. God's word has been put on a shelf and put away to the point people don't even know anymore or understand anymore how wrong they really are. So numb to life and so numb to the circumstances and situations they're in, they don't know in great measure right from wrong the way that they ought to. Amen? Sadly. But anyway, on this, the last Sunday of the year, I want to encourage you, maybe challenge you, stir you up, and myself as well for the new year to come. It won't be long before we head into a new year. And by the way, I don't know what you think about resolutions, but there's nothing wrong with making New Year's resolutions. To me, they're determinations, if you will. You know, this year I want to be determined. There's nothing wrong with being determined. And by the way, you don't have to wait for a new year to get determined. But when it comes to dieting and I'm this close to the new year, I usually push it off. Am I the only one that does that?
No.
When I'm walking by my wife's pound cake, I'm not thinking, well, you know, let's start that resolution today. No. We're going to wait. Yeah, you know, people talk about Fat Tuesday. Well, I like a fat 2 weeks, the end of the year. Amen. But anyway, so here's something we need to get stirred up about. In reference to the new year, be resolved about this book right here. This is what you and I as believers need to be resolved about. Thank God we have the Bible. Thank God we have God's word. Because any other word doesn't matter. Does not matter. You cannot base your eternal life on anybody else's word. You don't need a priest to give you a last rite. You don't need a religious organization to give you any word. You need the word of God. You can't rest on anybody else's word. Amen? And so thank God we have the Bible. By the way, Jesus said, man cannot live by bread alone, physical bread alone, but we need every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. If I need every word of God to live, then I need to make sure that I am into every word of God. Amen? And by the way, if God can't give me every word that I need to live, then he has failed us. If we don't have every word of God, then we cannot believe we need to live based on every word of God. Amen? And so thank God that God was able to give us all of his word that we need, and he was able to preserve it, and he's able to keep it still. Amen? In reference to this book, 2 Timothy chapter number 2, I want us to note, I'm going to say this, there's four obligations that you and I as believers need to have in reference to the Word of God. We are obligated to do some things with this book. There's a reason we have the Bible. Amen? God didn't give us what we need so we can keep it closed. Amen? We have to open it up, and we have to read it, and we have to study it. Look at 2 Timothy chapter number 2 and verse number 15. The first obligation you and I as believers have in reference to the Word of God is that we are obligated to study God's Word. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. Study, there's the word right there. By the way, that word actually means diligence. Studying is not easy, folks. To be honest with you, it's not easy. Do you know it's easier to read than to study? That's why some people don't mind just reading something. But reading something, when you just simply read something, you don't get everything that's in there. Amen? Study, verse number 15, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And let me say this. In reference to rightly dividing the word of truth, this verse is not written to you and I basically as Christians. This verse is written to leadership, pastors, evangelists, etc. But that does not mean that this verse does not apply to us. Because I promise you, when you read from Genesis to Revelation, you're going to withdraw from this book that you have an obligation to know the Word of God. Amen? So springing by way of application from this text, I want to say you and I need to be students of the Word of God. We need to study the Bible. Study it. Don't just read it. Amen. I believe there's a blessing in reading the book. No doubt about it. But we got to go deeper than just simply reading it. We have to dig into it so that we can find out what in the world. By the way, we can't lose it. We got to dig into it until we can find out what in the world does this mean. It's one thing that something says something, but it's another thing when you understand the meaning of it. A lot of false doctrine that comes from false religions are based on scriptures that look like it could mean what they're saying. But if you're not a student of the Word of God, if you don't understand the Word of God in the context of it, you may be fooled by the things that are said. Young believers could be taken to scriptures like Psalm 51, where David prayed, take not your Holy Spirit from me. Young believers, or people who are in certain denominations that are taught Psalm 51, take not your Holy Spirit from me. They'll tell you, hey, you can lose the Holy Spirit. If you're not a student of the Word of God, if you're not a student of Genesis to Revelation, and your only focus is on what somebody told you from whatever portion of the Bible, if you don't have an understanding of the whole, you're going to be taken in and fooled and deceived. When David prayed, take not thy spirit from me, he wasn't referring to, I don't want to lose my relationship with you. He was referring to, I don't want to lose the power of God in my life as a leader because I can't be the king without the Spirit. You see, when you study the scriptures, you understand in the Old Testament, God's dealings with the nation of Israel are different than God's dealing in the New Testament within the church, period. You and I would read the book of Ephesians, which is written as doctrine to the church today, and we would understand that the Spirit of God is in us. He's the seal. He'll never leave us until the day of redemption, the day we're out of here. We understand that based on... Now, by the way, it's not a contradiction. How does David say you can lose the Spirit? How does the New Testament say he's stuck in you? It's God's dealings with Israel as a nation was different than God's dealings with the church today. Different. Not a contradiction. Different. And you have to understand the difference. If you just simply read and never study, never rightly divide. That verse said rightly divide, rightly cut the word of God. See, there's dispensations, there's different time periods in the Bible. And you got to know what time period this is written for. What time period. Now, you can draw applications from these texts, but you got to be careful you don't interpret that for you. My application to David praying, don't take your Spirit from me, is as a believer, I need the power of the Spirit to do what God wants me to do. Can't do it without Him. Can't function without the unction. That's what I get from it. We have to be students of the Word of God. We have to be, and I'm going to throw this out there. In fact, you may even like this word. We have to be independent students of the Word of God. I don't know if you understand what I'm saying to you. You see, there are people like me that would say, you need to be a student of the Word of God. You need to study the Word of God so you know what you believe. But then on the other hand, we'll say, but you got to study in the confines of what we already believe. See, you got a freedom, but not too much. You have soul liberty, but not beyond what we believe. I'll go to shade this far. You can disagree with me. If I was your pastor, I'm not, and I won't be, you know, apart from some kind of whatever. But even as the pastor of his own people, I should be able to say, you have the right to believe according to your studies the Word of God. Now, I'm not talking something crazy. You come to, I have a right to believe that I have to work for my salvation. Well, you have a right to believe that, but you can believe that somewhere else if you want to. You understand what I'm saying to you? What I'm saying to you, you have the right to disagree. By the way, if you disagree with what your new pastor says, you don't have to tell him everything. Well, bless God, I'll tell you, brother, you're wrong about that. You know, if you think somebody's wrong about something or you think you know better, whatever, be wise. Be prayerful. If you're anxious and you just can't wait to deal with the issue, back off. Count 10 days. Dear Lord, I think I see it this way. When you're young, you think you know it. That's not just now parents know their children know everything at a certain age. You're almost there, right? Is he there yet? No. Good, good, good. They know everything. Until they mature and realize, man, they don't know nothing. As believers, some believers think they know it all. There was a spirit I had before growing up. You know, you start to learn the Bible, you think, man, I learned a few things. Boy, I really know. I had a guy one time, he was going to a Bible institute, and he said to me, he started the Bible institute, I think he's been doing it for 2 months. And he says, I already know what to say when it comes to preaching. I just like to learn how to say it like you do. I thought to myself, you can think, you know, you learn something and you think, wow, I'm really something. The more you grow in the Word of God, the more you realize, man, you don't know everything. I look back on my Christian life and I remember being dogmatic about things until I developed and matured and grew. And then I said, hold on a minute. You start to realize, man, I was wrong about that. Because now I study the context of that. And I'm like, what does that do to you? It makes you the next time say, you know, here's what I think I see here. Here's what I lean toward it saying here. And then when somebody says something to you, you say, you know what? I've never looked at it that way. And you know, whatever. You're more humble about it. If you think you know something, pray for God to give you opportunity if it's His will. And talk to somebody. Be wise about how you approach the preacher. Yeah, something when you were talking about this, about that. I always thought it meant... You have no idea. You may provoke that preacher to go relook at what he said. And it don't have to be something major. You understand what I'm saying to you? You don't always have to, well, bless God, I disagree with that one. And also telling everybody else, well, yeah, I don't agree with that. You may actually know more than the preacher knows. But you may not be the one that God ordains to be the leader of the church. There may be women who are more educated, that there probably is, my wife is already, way more educated than I am. But it's not education that God wants to use to lead our home. Can I get a witness on that one? I'm not saying a man is better. I'm saying a man is a different position in life. The pastor's got a different position. And God may use you to help them to grow. But be wise on how he uses you. Amen? Please. Study to show yourself approved unto God. We all, by the way, we all have to be students of this book right here. No doubt about it. Amen? And obviously I'm getting off track, so I'm not going to be able to finish it all, but I will just throw things out for you, if you will. Listen, the reason we need to study the Word of God is that we might understand the Word of God. And keys to understanding the Bible, number one, you got to be saved. If you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you don't have the teacher. Amen? If you're going to understand this book, you need to have the teacher inside of you. 1 John 2:20 and 27, he's the anointing that teaches us, right? He's the author of the book. This book is God-breathed, right? And so you need the Spirit of God to open your eyes to help you to see and understand what the Bible is saying. And by the way, the only one that is not obligated to be a student of the Word of God in this place is those who know it perfectly. I'm just giving you a free pass. If you know the book perfectly, you're good. You don't have to study it. What I'm saying is that would exclude us all. Amen. You have to be saved if you're going to understand the Word of God. And let me give you another thought too. Not only do you have to be saved and have the Spirit in order to understand the Word of God, but you got to be spiritual. You say, what's the difference between being saved and being spiritual? Well, being saved is I have the Spirit. Being spiritual is the Spirit has me. You see, the Spirit of God is the illuminator. The Spirit of God is the teacher. The Spirit of God is the one who opens our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. And when we open this book and it's only in the flesh, we may intellectually be able to see something and break down an outline or whatever it is. But I don't need that. I need the Spirit of God to open my eyes to see something that he has to show me. I want to get it. Amen? I often think of highlighting. I think I mentioned this before, but when I'm reading the scriptures, I want the Holy Spirit to be the highlighter. I want him to be the one that highlights something just for me. Amen. By the Spirit of God, we can understand the Word of God. He's the teacher. He's the illuminator. And here's why we have to be careful. We don't do two things. We don't grieve the Spirit and we don't quench the Spirit. If we grieve the Spirit, if we quench the Spirit, we are not going to get from this book what we need to get, the light and the understanding. Amen? We need the Holy Spirit. See, we need to be saved if we're going to understand this book. We need to be spiritual, spirit-filled, if you will, if we're going to understand this book. That's why I recommend before you do any reading or studying, ask the Lord to cleanse you. Father, if there be any wicked way in me, if there be any sin in my life, Lord, please help me to be mindful of it. Help me to just basically, I want to get my heart right with the Lord. I want to be in tune with the Lord. I want no hindrance. I want to be able to see what he wants to show me. Amen. So we need to be saved. We need to be spiritual. And then here's another thing we need to be. And this is this. We need to be scriptural. Now, some of you are thinking, hold on, Brother Matt, you're saying I need to be a student of the Bible, I need to study the Bible, but I need to be scriptural. Here's what I mean by that. We need to be scripture-filled. Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. By way of application, we need to be well-versed in the scriptures. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly. If the Word of God is filling you up when you're reading and studying a particular portion of the Word of God, guess what happens? Scripture interprets Scripture. When you're already filled with Scripture and you're studying a particular Scripture, it's amazing how these verses and these verses connect with the verses you're studying, and boom, before you know it, you're seeing like you never saw it before. That's what I'm saying. That's where reading comes in. Read and read and read and read and study and read and read and study. Let me give you an illustration. In the book of Matthew, and my time's almost done, but in the book of Matthew, chapter number 12, Jesus said three statements in Matthew 12. He said in reference to the temple, he said, "Behold, one greater than the temple is here." He said about Solomon, he said, "Behold, one greater than Solomon is here." He said about Jonah, in the New Testament he calls him Jonas, but it's a reference to Jonah. He said, "Behold, one greater than Jonah is here among you." Jesus was saying to the Jewish people that a greater than the temple's here, a greater than Solomon is here, a greater than Jonah is here. He's telling them that he's greater than these. Now remember, Matthew, by the way, technically, I know we call it the New Testament, it's still under the Old Testament, if you will. You understand, right? I'm reading that chapter. Now, by the way, if you're a preacher, a young preacher, and you see Jesus say three statements that sound really good, there's an outline right there. That's what I'm thinking as a young preacher. He said, "I'm greater than the temple. I'm greater than Solomon. I'm greater than Jonah." I'm like, there's the outline right there. Now you got an outline. It's a skeleton. But man, how do you put meat on that? One day, I was studying. I wasn't just reading. Studying. So what does that mean? I was chewing on what I was reading. Spiritually speaking, right? And then it hit me. You see, when you know and study the Old Testament, then you put that with what Jesus said, you start to say to yourself, well, hold on a minute here. Who was Solomon? What was Solomon? King. He was a king. What was Jonah? Prophet. He was a prophet. What was the temple about?
Priesthood.
What is the Messiah? What is the Christ? Messiah is the Old Testament term for the anointed one. Christ is the New Testament term for the anointed one. What does Messiah mean? What does Christ mean? What does it mean that Jesus is the Christ, the anointed one of God? What does that mean? That means Jesus is the only anointed one. That means he's the only prophet, priest, and king in one person. As you study the Old Testament, there were some prophets that were priests. There were some prophets that were kings, but there was never a prophet, priest, and king all in one. Only one could hold that anointed position. And who was that? Jesus Christ. Now we understand why he's greater than the temple, the priesthood itself, greater than the kings, and greater than the... because he's all three in one. I'm saying to you, as I came across Matthew 12 and studying that scriptures, if I didn't have understanding of the other things, could never put that together. You understand? Amen? I'm just encouraging you, get in the book, stay in the book. A lot of people say this, but in fact, people that are newly saved, they'll say, "I just read it, but I can't comprehend it all." Yeah, I'm still reading it after so many years, and I can't comprehend it all neither. We always encourage young believers, you know, this book is powerful. It's got so much power. You just keep reading it. You won't comprehend it all. But you keep reading it, because let me tell you something, by its power, something's going to happen in your life. And it's like a spaghetti strainer. You put a spaghetti strainer under the faucet. How much water does it retain? Not much, right? But the spaghetti strainer gets cleaner and cleaner. This book is powerful. Amen? There's wonder-working power in this book. And I believe, by the way, that newborn believers might be like spaghetti strainers, but as they stay under that book, all of a sudden them holes get clogged up and they start to retain a lot more water. Over time, the spaghetti strainer becomes a spaghetti pot, and we'll end off right there because we're going to get hungry if we go on any further. Amen. But anyway, listen, we are obligated to study the book. We got to study the book. Amen. Be prayerful too, by the way. One of the greatest prayers is Psalm 119, verse number 18. "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." God knows what you need when you need it. And when we say, "Dear Lord, open my eyes today. Help me to see what you have for me." we can anticipate him giving us just what we need. Amen? May God help us to be students of this book, especially as we get ready to head into a new year. Amen. Let's pray, and then we'll have some time of fellowship and use the restroom and whatever. Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you for the gathering today. Lord, thank you for their new pastor that is already solidified as the pastor of this church. I pray for him and I pray for his family that you'll help them to get to this community, Lord, at your timing. I pray you'll provide a job for him and for his family. I do pray that when he gets here and gets settled in, that this church will grow even to a point where he'll be able to be full-time, to be able to be full-time ministering to this church and to the community and community surrounding it. I pray, Father, for you to help them to find a place to live as well. I pray you'll continue to provide and meet the needs of this church, that they can help meet his needs until he gets on his feet. I pray you'll unite that preacher and his family with this church, and I pray they'll have a mutual love and a mutual respect and a mutual patience one with another, that they would grow together. I pray that you'll please hedge and help this church in a very special way. Thank you for holding it together for the last few years as the preacher is with thee in heaven, who started this church and who's been here for so long. I do pray now you'll bless our time of fellowship, Lord, and protect and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen.